Maybe you have heard about the young couple who moved into a new home in a new neighborhood, and the first morning in their new home, they got up and they were having breakfast, and as they were eating breakfast, the young woman looked out and she saw her neighbor hanging laundry on the clothesline in the backyard, and she looked and she said, "That laundry is not very clean. She doesn't know how to wash properly. She doesn't use the right soap. Maybe it's cheap soap," and on she went. Her husband remained quiet. Well, this kept on every week when the woman was putting out her clothes. Every time the young woman would say, "That laundry just is not clean. What is wrong with her? Doesn't she know how to do laundry?" Well, about a month into their time in this new home, the woman was surprised when one morning they were eating breakfast and she looked out and she saw her neighbor putting the laundry out on the clothesline, and it was crisp and clean and it was beautiful. And she said to her husband, "Look, she has finally learned how to wash correctly. I wonder who taught her." And her husband said, "No one, honey. I got up early this morning and washed our windows." It's true in life, right? What we see when we are looking at others depends upon the windows through which we look. What we see in another person depends upon the clarity of vision we have through the windows in our own lives that we are looking at them. When we look at others through the windows of anger and jealousy and negativity, we fall into the trap of judging unfairly. I think that's one reason why Jesus said, "Judge not, or you too will be judged." Though this teaching sounds very simple, the reality is very few teachings of Jesus are broken more often than his teaching about judgment. In fact, I would submit to you this morning that perhaps one of the greatest problems in the Christian church today is our lack of living up to Jesus' teaching about judgment. The New Testament scholar William Barclay says, "There is hardly any commandment of Jesus which is more consistently broken and neglected than this one of judging." He says that Christians are too quick to judge and condemn, and we are too slow to praise and to forgive. Even those outside of the church recognize our fault in this area. Bertrand Russell is a well-known philosophy professor. He was an outspoken critic of Christianity during his life. He once delivered a lecture entitled, "Why I Am Not a Christian." And in part of that lecture, here's what he says. He says, "I think there are a good many points upon which I agree with Christ more than the professing Christians do. You will remember," he said, "that Christ said, 'Judge not, lest you be judged.' The maxim of Christ has a great deal in it." And then he says, "But I do not find it to be very popular among our Christian friends. I do not profess to live up to it myself," he says, "but then again, I am not claiming to follow the Christ who taught this teaching." It's true. So often we fail to live up to this simple teaching of Jesus. But the message is crystal clear. Judge not, or you too will be judged. As Edward Schweitzer says, we as Christians often find it easier to go along with the world and assign people higher or lower positions of worth rather than looking through the eyes of God and seeing that everyone, he says, is exactly equal. Jesus says, "Judge not, or you too will be judged." Well, in order to explain this, Jesus took something that would have been very commonly understood in the people of his day and time. He began talking about a speck of sawdust. And what he says to those listening is this. He says, "Look, why do you pay attention to the tiny speck of sawdust that is in the eye of your brother or your sister when you have," he says, "a log protruding from your own eye?" Now, he's being a little humorous and facetious here. What he's talking about, the word for log, is actually the primary structural beam of a house. It was huge. It was one of the largest pieces of wood that would have been known to Jesus' listeners. So the analogy is very clear. Why would we pay attention to a speck in someone else's eye when we have this largest piece of wood protruding from our own eye? Judge not, Jesus says. Are you too will be judged. Well, let's ask this morning, what does it really mean to judge another person? Does this teaching from Jesus mean that we should never have an opinion about someone else? Does it mean that we should never evaluate or assess or have discernment about the character or the teachings or the words of another person? Is that what Jesus means? The horrendous shooting at the high school in Florida this week has captured all of our attention. Our thoughts and our prayers continue to be with all of those who are hurting from this tragedy. And as a nation, we're asking some important questions. We're asking questions about guns. We're asking questions about mental health. We're asking questions about law enforcement. And on the questions go. But this morning, in light of this teaching from Jesus, as Christians, let's ask another question. This morning, let's think about what Jesus would say to us in light of this text. When Jesus says, do not judge, does he mean that the people who are around this troubled 19-year-old young man should have turned the other way when they saw disturbing behavioral signs in his life? Does Jesus mean that when we see something like this, these disturbing signs, that we should simply say, well, I can't evaluate that person. I can't assess him or her. I can't have an opinion about it, because Jesus says, do not judge. Does this teaching mean that we just accept people however they are and we are not to worry about how their actions or behaviors may impact us or other people? Well, let's start by saying very clearly this morning what judging is not. It is not judging someone to be discerning regarding his or her behavior or their words. It is not judging someone to be discerning regarding someone's behavior or their words. This teaching from Jesus often is read in a way where judgment and discernment get confused and get mixed up. If we keep reading what Jesus says, we skip on down. If you look at verse 15, Jesus says this: watch out for false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. In other words, what he's saying is, be discerning. Assess, evaluate those around you. It takes discernment and spiritual analysis and wisdom to recognize a false prophet. In other words, it is good, it is right for us to assess and evaluate the behavior and the teachings and the words of another person. And it's when we find ourselves saying, I think that person is not a true sheep. That person seems to me, based on their words and what they're doing, to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. It requires honest evaluation and assessment of a person's character and teaching. And such evaluation and assessment is different from judgment. Let's say it this way. There are times in life when we must confront or expose sin. There are times in life when we should simply say, that's evil. That is sin. There are times in life when we should look at the teachings or words or behavior of another and say, that is unbiblical. And we determine for ourselves, based upon what Jesus is talking about here, that this person is falling into the category of a false teacher. So we should be clear. It is not judging someone to be discerning about his or her behavior or their words or their teachings. Parents do this all the time. We evaluate and we assess the behavior of the friends of our children. It's part of a job of being a good parent. The same is true in our spiritual lives. Jesus wants us to be discerning in our relationships with others. Well, if that's what judgment is not, then what is it? Let me offer just a few thoughts about what Jesus is saying to us this morning. Number one is this: we judge someone wrongly when we criticize that person out of our own jealousy, bitterness, or selfish ambition. In other words, our motives are crucial. Here's the question. Why are you saying what you are saying about someone else? What is the reason? What is your motive for talking about him or her? In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 11, James says, "Do not speak against one another." And some versions translate that as saying, "Do not slander one another." And we know that to slander someone is to bring down their reputation, or by sharing false or misleading information, to pull someone else down. And slander is always a sin. But the word James uses there is much broader than even just our understanding of slander. He also means, and listen to this, any form of criticism or speaking meanly about another person out of our own selfish motives. In other words, what you're saying may be true, but if the reason you're sharing it is to make yourself look better or to make the other person look bad, then you are wrong, even if the information you are sharing is correct. If our motive in criticizing another person is jealousy or selfish ambition or rivalry or pride or hatred, we are judging in a way that is displeasing to God. Here's number two. We also judge someone wrongly when we assume we know all the facts and motives behind the person's words and actions. A doctor entered a hospital in a hurry after being called in for an urgent surgery on a young boy. He answered the call, he changed his clothes, and went directly to the surgery block. And when he entered, he found the boy's father pacing in the hallway outside. And upon seeing the doctor, the father said to him, "Why did you take all of this time to come? Don't you know that my son's life is in danger? Don't you have any sense of responsibility?" The doctor smiled and said, "I'm sorry. I wasn't in the hospital when the call came, and I came as fast as I could after receiving the call. And sir, if you just calm down, I'll get in and we'll have the operation and move on." "Calm down," the father said. "What if your son was in the operating room right now? Would you be calm?" The doctor smiled and he replied, "We will do our best by God's grace." The surgery took a few hours, after which the doctor came out to speak to the family. The doctor said very quickly, "Thank goodness your son is saved." And without waiting for a reply, he left very quickly, saying in his rush, "If you have any questions, ask the nurse." When the nurse came, the father, still full of anger, said, "Why is he so arrogant? Couldn't he have waited just a few minutes so we could ask some questions about the son and the state of my son?" And the nurse answered with tears streaming down her face. She said, "The doctor's son died yesterday in a road accident. He was actually at the funeral home when we called him, and he left the funeral home to come for your son's surgery. So now he's quickly returning to the funeral home for his own son." We don't know the circumstances that someone else is going through. We don't know their situation. We don't know what has brought them to this particular place in life. And it's so true. We judge ourselves by our intentions, and we judge others by their actions. So Jesus says to us, do not judge, because you never know what is going on in the life of another person. And then finally, I think this is his main point. We judge someone wrongly when we do not first judge our own sin before focusing on the sin of another. The first focus must be the log in our own eye instead of the speck in the eye of our brother or sister. Jesus does not say it's wrong to help our brother or sister with a speck that is in his or her eye. That's okay. But first, deal with the log that is in your own eye. One person made a great point here. If you went to an eye doctor to remove a speck from your eye, but the doctor had a log protruding from her own eye, you wouldn't want her touching your eye until she first took care of her problem. Jesus shows us here he knows so much about human nature. He knew that as human beings, it is so much easier for us to focus on the problems of someone else than to look at ourselves. For to look at another person and look at his or her faults means we don't have to spend time looking at our own faults. We can enjoy criticizing and correcting the other person because it gives us a good feeling that compensates for our own failures that we would rather not have to face. Jesus knew that. Earl Nightingale said, "When you judge others, you do not define them. You define yourself." It's just like Jessica was saying in the children's sermon. In pointing one finger at someone else, we're pointing several back at us. We don't define the other person by our judgment. We define ourselves. You see, the really frightening thing here is that Jesus warns us God is going to use the same measure with us that we use with other people. Whatever yardstick you use, whatever measurement you use to evaluate and assess someone else, that's the yardstick and measurement God is going to use with you. That's scary stuff. And what it means for us as Christians is we cannot take the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God in our lives and then turn around and treat others harshly. For when we look at another person, we are always only seeing a portion of the truth about them. An old man had four sons, and he wanted his sons to learn a very important lesson about life. So he decided to send each of his four sons on a quest. He asked them to go and to look at a pear tree that was in a faraway land, far from them. And he instructed them that only one could go at a time. So when winter came, he asked his oldest son to go and take a look at the pear tree. Similarly, he asked his second son to go and look at the tree in the spring. The third one went in the summer, the fourth in the winter. When they had all gone and returned, the old man asked all of them to come and to describe to him what they had seen. So the four sons came and stood in front of him and shared their experience. The oldest said, "The tree was ugly. It was bent. It was twisted. It was the ugliest tree I've ever seen. No fruit at all. It was absolutely worthless." The second son said, "No, that's not true. The tree was covered with green buds, and though it is not much yet, it has great potential." But the third son interrupted, "That's not true. The tree was full of blossoms that smelled sweet, and it looked absolutely beautiful. In fact, it was the most beautiful tree I've ever seen." And the fourth son said, "No, the tree was full of ripe fruit. The fruit were dropping off the tree, and I tasted the fruit, and they were delicious. It was fulfilled, and it was full." After listening to each one, the old man said, "No one is wrong. All four of you are right. But each of you has only seen one season in a tree's life, and therefore what you saw was the condition of the tree in that particular season. But just like the tree's condition changes, so it is with people. We should not judge someone by only one season of his or her life. For if you give up when it is winter, you will miss the promise of spring, the beauty of summer, and the bounty and fulfillment of fall." The essence of others, who they are, the pleasure and joy and love that we can receive from them can only be measured at the end of all of the seasons. Jesus says if we accept the love and mercy of God and then turn around and judge others with harshness and a condemning spirit, then we are taking God's holy love and grace and we are throwing it away. Literally, we are giving it to the dogs and to the pigs. But there is a saying, and the saying goes like this: if you are judging a brother or sister, you're wrong, even if you're right. Jesus said, "Judge not, or you too will be judged." For you see, it's an important word, judgment. Let us pray. God, Good and gracious God, this morning your word is challenging and it is confronting. For Lord, how easy it is in our lives to fall into the pattern of this world and to judge others so we feel better about ourselves. But Lord, your way is different. Your way is positive, it is not negative. Your way is encouraging and uplifting. It is not harsh, it is not judgmental. So Lord, give us faith and especially courage to be people of love and grace instead of judgment. Lead us and guide us in these ways, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.